We have reached the midway point of our Friday show. Chase Willie and D Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Coming up at 12:30, it's Ask D Mace. So get your questions ready on our phone text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hit us up there and ask questions to D Mace about life, about football, about history. And then, of course, at 1 o'clock, we'll talk with Eddie George from Tennessee State. They're playing Middle Tennessee this Saturday. That's tomorrow. That's going to be a lot of fun. We already checked in over at Floyd Stadium on some of the festivities they have going on, so it'll be a fun atmosphere there with Eddie and his Tigers heading out to Murfreesboro. We'll also talk Titans with Eddie as well, so looking forward to that at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, let's give you a taste of what's happening over at the Titans complex today. The coordinators are speaking. We had some interesting comments from Todd Downing and Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach. Derrick Henry also took to the podium. But here is defensive coordinator Shane Bowen.
Shane, with the yards you guys gave up in the run game last week, are those correctable things when you watch them on film?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was a combination, man. I think a couple tough calls put the guys in some tough situations on a couple of those things. I think the tackling showed up a little bit. You face a elite back. I mean, you're going to have some, but they were able to break some and get some significant yardage on them. And then a few fit things where an elite back finds it, right? Like if you don't fit up against the ones that are elite, they make you pay for it. So in combination of things, got to be better. We got to do a better job setting the edge, building a wall, and swarming. But, I mean, there was a few different things that factored into that.
Was Zach aggressive enough in this game?
Yeah, I felt like he was going. There were some good clips of him knocking guys around. And they were doing some unique things, bringing the tight end up on him pretty early in the down in the play. And, again, a lot with all these guys, they got a decision to make. At some point in the block, it's either I can go under, I can go over, I can go through. And a lot of that depends on where the ball's at, right? So, I mean, there's a time and place for making those decisions, and they got to have good instincts and good feel for when they can. But, I mean, we'll see. I think all of us across the board knows it has to be better.
Challenge, I guess, going up as a quarterback like Buffalo's got with the strong arm and also a willingness to run it.
Yeah, he's a special player. Like we got a big challenge ahead of us. He makes that thing go up there. Like he can make the throws on schedule, all the throws wherever it is. He can scramble around and buy time and make all the throws. He can scramble around and run and stiff arm 250-pound dudes to the ground. He's a unique player with a special skill set, with a lot of things that you have to be able to defend with them.
The tackling problems have kind of been well documented. With starters playing little to none in the preseason and obviously not taking guys to the ground in practice and all, is some of that rust, and do you have to maybe rethink your approach to the preseason in terms of getting guys on the field to tackle?
I think we try to rep it. A lot of the fundamentals of tackling, I think you can get across without contact. Like, we're out here throughout the season, it's the same thing. Like, I mean, you talk about tackling, and there might be maybe 5 to 6 tackles per guy per game on average, you would say. But I think the technique and the fundamentals of being able to stay on my feet, not get too wide with my base, where I can step to contact, I'm not hopping, and I'm closing the distance. All those things that really enable you to be a good tackler have nothing to do with the end result of the contact, if that makes sense. Like, there's a lot of little things leading up to the junction point where I'm wrapping and collisioning that ultimately lead to whether you make or miss. So, I mean, does it factor? Maybe a little bit. I'm not going to sit here and say yes or no either way, but I do think there's a lot of things we can do without the contact that can improve our tackling.
With Farley only playing 15 snaps against the Giants, like, how has he responded? I mean, obviously, he wants to play more, but how has he responded to that?
Yeah, he's been good. He's competitive. All these guys are. They all want to be out there every snap, unless they're tired, of course, and they're begging to get out. But he's responded well. I think he's been ready to go this week. He's excited for the challenge that they present and what's going to be asked of him. So, I mean, he's been good. I've felt no negativeness from him this week.
What's kind of your talking point with Christian on the big touchdown play there, and I guess how important is that, especially with guys like Diggs?
I mean, on the back end, ultimately, do your job, right? And that's all 11 guys. They got a job to do on a run play, on a pass play. They all have a job to do. It's our job on those plays to rush and be able to get home to affect the quarterback, and you're not always going to. I mean, Jeff was close. But those guys got to do their job. They can't get lazy. They can't fall asleep on things. And if you got a job to cover the man, worry about covering the man and not what's going on with the other 10 guys, because that's your job on that play.
So you just kind of maybe got caught looking in the back.
Yeah, he got caught peeking. I think he got a little lazy with his technique, and I started to wonder.
Opposite of that, did you like Roger McCreary's game?
I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a really good job. For the first game, going out there and competing and different things that he's been doing for us, like, thought he went out there and challenged, wasn't at all scared, you know. So I'm encouraged with him, and hopefully it keeps progressing.
Shane, everybody talks about, obviously, Allen and his receivers. What do you see from their running backs on film? How good are they?
Yeah, they're all different, right? They're all different. Singletary, Moss, I think they both run the ball really hard. I think they've done a good job of introducing some different schemes to kind of help those guys a little bit different schematically than what they were last year in the run game. But they do. They're running the ball hard. They're fighting for yards, no different than the quarterback fighting for yards. Again, it's going to be a game where we're going to have to be able to set the edge on them, and hopefully we can build a wall where they can't get that steam going downhill on us.
What you guys lose in David Anine from the practice squad, and maybe also have you gotten impressions on Tuska so far?
Yeah, I think David did a great job for us in the preseason. The rush ability, he was progressing. He was improving every day. I think we saw that from training camp on through. And Tuska's been good. He's been bought in. He's learning as we go. Just like all these guys, they're trying to carve out a role for himself. And he's done a good job, everything we've asked him up to this point.
What is the challenge when they used, I think, three different backs on Thursday night? I mean, I guess the Giants, you kind of knew you see a lot of Barkley. What's the challenge when you got so many guys rotating in?
Yeah, I think you got to know their skill sets. They're all a little bit different. Singletary to Moss to Cook, right? They're all different in how potentially they could use them because of those skill sets. And just like anything else, we talked a little bit about the DB-receiver deal, like knowing who you're lined up against and what they're trying to do and how they run their routes. It's no different with running backs, right? How patient are they? How impatient are they? How hard are they hitting it? Like, there's all these – are they more quick than fast? There's a bunch of different skill sets that come into play. Can they catch out of the backfield? All those things. We got to have a good understanding of who each guy is.
Not one play in particular, but do you feel like with the way the first half went that you guys maybe took your foot off the gas a little there in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I think the X plays killed us, and it let them back in the game. You know, that's the thing. Like, if we don't give them the X plays, you got to make them earn it, and who knows what happens. But when you get those X plays and they're right back in the game and the momentum starts to swing, it just gets hard, and I think those two plays kind of demoralized us a little bit more so than us truly just letting our foot off the gas. But again, we battled. Like, after those two plays, we battled, we found some stops, and then unfortunately we weren't able to get it done on that last drive there.
What did Hooker do really well on the interception there in the end zone?
Yeah, I think he was in a good position. They tried to run some spot pick deal and rub him, and he was able to play over the top of it. He was in a good spot to where he was able to get his eyes back. We talk about a man coverage a lot. Like, we're not really looking for interceptions. We're looking for PBUs and playing through the hands and making sure our eyes are on our man, right? So we're not losing him. But he was in a good spot. I think he was able to get over the top, and he was kind of in phase with Saquon, and he was able to take a peek, and then that's when he saw the ball and was able to make it.
That is Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator for the Titans. So we've heard from Todd Downing, we've heard from Bowen, we've heard from Craig Aukerman. We're going to summarize when we come back, and then it'll be Ask D. Mace at 12:30. So we'll hit some key points. We'll get Derek's take on it in our next segment. Stay tuned for that, and get ready for the Ask D. Mace. If you want to get your text questions in right now, feel free to do that, and we will read them at 12:30. 615-737-1025. Be creative,
come on,
be fun. Yeah, bring it.
Bring it
on
home.
Friday. Help the show. Enhance the show. You can do it. We have confidence in you, and we're looking for your help. 615-737-1025 for Ask D-Mace at the bottom of the hour. Hey, are you getting hit hard with higher costs, higher interest rates? Is your credit card rate going up every month? Hey, if you'd like to wipe out those credit cards before the holidays, it's time to call Loan Pronto because your home equity can rescue you right now. Your home's value is still way up, and there's a ton of cash that you can get right now. And Loan Pronto specializes in that zero-cost cash-out home refi. You can get tens of thousands of dollars in as little as 2 weeks. You can pay off all those credit cards and consolidate everything into one super low payment. You can save around $800 a month from your monthly budget. So call Loan Pronto and find out more about this. Now, you might be saying, well, the interest rates are going up a little bit. Yes, they are. But it's offset by your credit card rate going to zero. And here is what Loan Pronto will offer you. When rates come back down, Loan Pronto will refinance you again for free. So don't wait. Call Loan Pronto and get your game plan going. Do it now. You can even skip your next two house payments altogether. Loan Pronto can be reached at 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Derek Von Miller had some fun stuff to say. He said, you know, first of all, I can't believe I'm almost as big as this guy is. We're about the same size. He said, I might be able to run faster, but his vertical's better. But just up against a guy like that who's been in the league so many years, you know, what a challenge does he always pose?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame player. You know, he's disruptive. He can take over a game at any point of the game. So you got to make sure we take account of him on each and every play, each and every snap. It's the type of player he is. That's how it's been since he's been in the league. And we actually train at the same training facility. So I see him often in the offseason. But you know, it's going to be a challenge going up against him.
Derrick Henry at the podium today. He did mention that he's his own worst critic. He's hard on himself after the first game. Feels like there's more there in the running game. Looking to try to get more done on Monday night. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Don't forget, Ask D-Mace coming up at the bottom of the hour. So make sure you get your text questions in. You can also call in on our phone line, 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's really interesting when you break it down, D-Mace. We've heard from all three phases.
Mm-hmm.
We heard all of the detail that went into the 47-yard kick that they missed, which is the difference in winning and losing. Mm-hmm. Craig Aukerman's revelation. I shouldn't say revelation. He revealed that that they moved the ball to the right hash not because it was Randy Bullock's preference, but it was just what the data said was the best spot on the field to make the kick. But well, in doing so, they moved back 3 yards, and they missed a chance to advance the ball a little bit further. So interesting. Maybe a little bit overthinking in our mind. Then Todd Downing came on, and really there was a lot of little things that probably were the difference in winning and losing for the offense. They did some really good things, but their inability to get the little plays. He mentioned, hey, it's on me. The Chigakonkwo play was a bad call. I screwed it up. There were some other plays that just they didn't execute. Derrick Henry dropping the snap on a third and short. But the inability to get the third and shorts was a big issue for the offense. Then we just heard in the last segment from Todd Downing where he talked about, quote, X plays. What does he mean by that? Explosive plays. And he really said the two big plays changed the entire game. And he said, man, I mean, you could just hear him it in his voice that it marred an otherwise pretty deep. They did some good things on defense, but he said those two plays really changed the game. And looking back on that, that was maybe the difference in the game other than the last drive. And really, there was an explosive play on that one, too. There's a long run by Barkley that got him down there. But let's get to the explosive plays and what he said about what went wrong there and what your thoughts were.
There were, you know, the Titans had several big plays, and we talked about those big plays the other day. But the Giants had three big plays, but those three big plays turned into touchdowns, as opposed of the Titans either, you know, one turned into a touchdown, a few into a field goal, a few into no points. And when you're playing a team like the Giants and you get these explosive plays, you have to capitalize and cash in on them. Now, Buffalo, their three plays, you know, you look at the Saquon Barkley big run. Well, you know, Shane Bourne was saying, listen, if guys play their technique, if guys stay in their lanes, then that Saquon Barkley, you know, play doesn't, you know, get 60, 70 yards downfield. If Dupree sets the edge and pushes Saquon inside, then Big Jeff is right there to make the tackle. Or you got those linebackers that are sweeping across the field to make those tackles. But when you're playing hero ball, you not only take yourself out of the play, but you take your teammate out of the play. By you stunting inside and thinking you can shoot the gap, you run into Jeffrey Simmons, and now Jeffrey Simmons can't get to the play like it's designed for him to get to. So you can't, when you're a team like this, when you're playing against explosive individuals, you can't play hero ball. You just can't. You got to play within the framework of the defense. And the first half, that's what they were doing. The second half, for whatever reason, they decided, okay, yeah, the technique costs us for this, but I'm going to do this. He talked about Fulton, the big pass to Sterling Shepard.
Yep.
Touchdown.
Technique.
It's technique. Why are you looking in the backfield 30 yards down the field, 40 yards down the field? Even if the quarterback does decide to run, you're not going to be the first person to hit him or have an opportunity to make the tackle. Play your man. Do your job. It was always taught to us, listen, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be that. Be there. Now, that can be on the football field or off the football field. But on the football field, if a play is called for you to run a slant, three-step slant, well, run that three-step slant and be right where the quarterback anticipates you to be. Don't be somewhere else. Don't run a slant and then pivot out or stop on a route. Do exactly what the route is called for you to do. Same thing with defense. Do exactly. Play the gap. Set the edges. Play disciplined football. Don't peek in the backfield. Play your man. Because if they play their technique, you don't have the big Saquon run. You don't have the long touchdown to Sterling Shepard. And the Titans win that football game.
Hmm. What else jumped out at you for Shane Bowen? One thing that was asked was about the young corners. And certainly they'll be part of the story again. Some of his thoughts on Roger McCreary, he seemed to be very thumbs up on McCreary. Other than the play by Fulton, where on the technique, you know, I think you like where Fulton is right now in terms of his development. And then there was Farley, who didn't play as many snaps, but he had some thoughts about Farley as well. So, what did you make of what he said there?
I think he believes in these guys, but it's all about, you know, technique and doing, again, it goes back to doing your job. Whatever that job is, whatever we are asking you to do, just do it. Don't try to do everybody else's job. You know, don't try to do more than what we're asking you to do, especially these young corners. You know, you're not experienced enough to play outside of the framework of our defense. Play our defense. Play it strong, play it fast, and play it physical. If you do that, 9 times out of 10, good things will start to happen. If you don't do that, 9 times out of 10, bad things will happen. And it happened in the case of Fulton. Now, McQuarrie, he's going to be a good player. Farley, the jury is still out on him. I think he's still, not only is he still sort of learning the nuances of this defense, but he's learning the nuances of playing corner. You know, it doesn't look like he's truly comfortable playing that position. And understandable, because he hadn't been playing it that long. He was hurt last year. I mean, you know, before that in college, he didn't start playing corner until like maybe his last year or two. So he's a project in the making. He's a guy that they're going to stay on, and if he continues to improve, he's going to continue to get playing time. But if not, then, you know, obviously they're going to have to find someone else to play that spot. But I think Shane Bowen, he feels confident enough in his young corners that he can go out there and let them play. They just need to, you know, stick to the details and play their assignment.
Finally, I detect, and I think you would say the same thing, I detect a lot of presence and confidence in Shane Bowen, security, when he addresses the media as opposed to Downing. Do you sense that a little bit?
It's obvious, because there's a difference between that, and that's why, you know, you have first year guys playing different than fifth year guys, because they're just fifth year guys are comfortable. You know, it's rare when a, you know, young guy comes in and he just gets it and he feels comfortable and you see the confidence in him. That doesn't happen a lot. But when you've been in this situation for years on top of years on top of years, you sort of, you know, you get comfortable at what you're doing. That's Shane Bowen. He's confident and comfortable at what he's doing. Mind you, he got a bunch of playmakers. And his defense was one of the best defenses in the National Football League last year.
So even though they're coming off a loss,
exactly,
he still sounds like he's confident and believes
confident
in what they're doing.
He's confident. He's gotten that vote of confidence from Vrabel. Downey, the minute they brought in Kelly, that wasn't a vote of confidence. And then after the first game, all what happened and what went on during that game, in particular the second half, that's not a vote of confidence.
And you were sensing it, because I think too, there's a little more wheels turning in answering the questions.
Exactly.
That might be a little thing, just an observation, may mean nothing when he gets in there, but it's just interesting to listen to both of them.
You see, Shane Bowen can address, like, okay, when we're playing the defense, if, you know, the defense is designed to do this. Well, Saquon Barkley gets that big run because we're not playing our technique. He didn't say nothing about the play was wrong, the defense that I called was wrong. He said, listen, and he said it in a way where guys understand that. Guys want to be held accountable. Like, listen, they're not doing what we're asking them to do, because they know if they're doing what we're asking them to do, the play is going to work out in our favor. Well, Downey doesn't have that confidence. You can tell he's second-guessing himself. Well, maybe, yeah, I shouldn't. That tells me Vrabel must have said something to him in the meetings. There must have been something said, because he's not confident in the plays that he called during the game. In hindsight, looking back, well, maybe, yeah, I shouldn't have ran that. Yeah, I shouldn't. No, that was the right play you ran. They just got to block better.
Okay. Interesting stuff. When we come back, we will get the Ask D. May segments going. At 1 o'clock, Eddie George. And also at 1:15, Lewis Riddick, outstanding analyst, will get his take on the Titans-Bills matchup at 1:15. That's all coming up. But remember, Ask D. Mace. Get the text going. Get the calls going. 615-737-1025. Ask D. Mace anything. Titans, NFL, college, life, anything. Let's have some fun. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're back after this.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D. Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D. Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time to ask D. Mace. A segment we always look forward to Fridays at 12:30. I got my days wrong. Come on, it's Friday. Come on. People panic.
Don't
Wednesday.
Take it back to Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday. Yes. So we got to move forward, not backwards. Come on. Hey, D-Mace is 2-0 in our silly underdog picks on the college ranks, 2-1 overall. And don't forget to get your picks in, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. download the app today. So just make sure you're playing. Pick your three games before kickoff tomorrow. Just a reminder there for the Cilly and Arto picks. We're having a great time with that. And D-Mace is off to a great start. So, D-Mace, we got a lot of people lined up here. 615-737-1025. We've got the word out. The first one seems to be sort of a person that knows you here.
Yeah.
The first, ask Derek what is Kentucky football ranked right now. Tell him Emily wants to know. We got to find out what's going on with Emily must be a Kentucky fan.
The poll that I subscribe to is the coaches poll, the AFCA coaches poll. And in that poll, the Spartans of Michigan State is ranked 9th. And the Little Cats of Kentucky is ranked 10th. That's the only poll that I go by, Willie. I don't go by no other polls. So
So
I don't know what other polls you're talking about, Emily. But that's the poll that I go by and many people that I know go by.
All right. Let's get we got them lined up here. 615-737-1025. You're welcome to call as well and ask your question live. But let's go back and let's go first come, first serve with this. D-Mace, if you could only pick one play from your career to remember for the rest of your life, what would it be? One play. This is Cole from Clarksville. Thank you for your text, Cole.
Oh, man. One play. God, that is a good question. I would say maybe the punt, the free kick in the AFC Championship game versus the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's a big one.
That one and probably
that sealed the deal, right?
Yeah, that sealed the deal.
Once you ran that kick back for a touchdown, I knew the game was over.
Yeah.
I was like, they're going to the Super Bowl.
That one and probably the one, the slant. We were playing the Detroit Lions in the rain, and I was in Baltimore, and Flacco threw me a slant, and I got crushed by two people, but managed to stay up and scored on like a 67-yard touchdown. So,
very good.
Those two. But there's a lot of plays. But, yeah, those two plays.
It helps if you give your name. We'd love for you to do that, but we appreciate all of the texts here. Here's one. What is your favorite route versus a particular coverage? Do you have a go-to route against a particular coverage? This morning we talked a lot of man coverage versus zone, blitz versus non-blitz. Anything come to mind for that?
I loved running a 9-stop versus man coverage because it's almost unstoppable. If the quarterback puts the ball on your back shoulder and he throws it before you turn around, it's almost impossible for the defender to stop it unless he's cheating. But if you come off the ball as if you're running a 9 route, then he has to honor that. And that 9 stop, when the quarterback throws it at the back of your head to the outside, that catch is just – that pass is almost unstoppable. You see a lot of teams running that back shoulder and that 9 stop play, especially when they need a crucial first down. And then a comeback route. Love the comeback route. Get them running 15, 20 yards down the field and just stop. And that quarterback puts it right on the sideline, man, they couldn't stop that route. Especially playing man-to-man,
all right,
they couldn't stop it.
Take me through again. What's the easiest way to describe? We're here on a radio. You can't kind of walk it for us or, you know, put your finger in the dirt like Steve Spurrier on the sideline. But like a 9 route, what is a 9 route?
A 9 route
down
is
and out,
a,
down
it,
and in?
Like a 9 route is just a go route, flat-out go route. Now,
okay.
it can be ran different. If it's zoned, then typically we're trying to. If it's cover two, you typically want to try to get an outside release and try to get up the field vertical as quickly as possible because you're trying to get that spacing because typically there's a, you know, if you got an inside route, you're trying to stretch that safety and make him make a decision. So that 9 route versus cover 2 turns into an outside release and go because if that safety doesn't get over, the quarterback can hit you in a hole in like 12 to 15
yards.
So we
can picture that. That happens
absolutely.
A lot.
So.
So, Kevin, good text on that one. Next up, RL from Nashville says, can you put a bucket on Michigan State this weekend to not just cover but win the game at Washington? There's money to be won!
Book it! Book it. Mel Tucker have them boys ready to go. They got to travel out west to Washington. All right? Not Washington, D.C., people. Washington to the state. They got to travel out west. But, yeah, book it. Book it.
So you like the Spartans?
Oh, come on! Why wouldn't I don't care if the Spartans were 0-15, I'm still going for them. I'm still pulling for them.
Yeah. They're ranked. That's one of the better games, I think.
Yeah, they're ranked on ninth. The docket. They're ranked ninth in a poll that I look at. And Kentucky's ranked 10th. Yeah.
This is not D-Mace's poll, though, right? This is a legit poll.
Yeah, this is a legit poll that I'm looking at, yes.
Who's that call, Lewis?
Lewis is coming up at 115. Lewis Riddick. Here's Viking Matt, who is a frequent texter to the show. He says, what about Caleb Farley as a wide receiver? Titans need help there. And he kind of gives it an LOL. But once upon a time, Caleb Farley was a wide receiver at Virginia Tech before they switched him.
Yeah, he was. Now, I don't know what type of wide receiver he was. Was he a good wide receiver? Was he an okay wide receiver? Was he a potential starter?
If he walked into the room, mm-hmm. his body type, this is a wide receiver, I'd say, oh, yeah, he looks the part.
Yeah.
He looks like a wide receiver.
Long, lanky, thin. So he has a wide receiver's build. But I don't know if they can, you know – If he showed the ability to play both ways, then best believe they would try to put him somewhere on the offense. But I don't think he's shown that ability. I'm just hoping he can show the ability to play defensive back. That's all. Worry about one job, brother.
Yeah, that's right. That horse is out of the barn.
Exactly. It's gone.
We got TD from Nashville here. He says, D-Mace, what are your other talents at Mumford High in the Motor City? Could you dunk a basketball?
Oh, of course.
He says, by the way, not bragging, but at 5'9", I could.
I was dunking in high school, man. Of course I dunked. I played basketball because basketball truly is my first love. I enjoy watching basketball. But, yeah, I played basketball, ran track. Never tried to play baseball. I didn't want to get hit by the ball. And that's honestly speaking, that's why I didn't want to play baseball. And I know people are thinking, you know, well, you got hit by guys that were bigger. That's different. That's different than getting hit by baseball. And I know it didn't happen in high school, but I was second in spelling bee. Thank you. Thank you, people. Thank you. Thank you.
Well-rounded. Thank you. Well-rounded.
That is the goat. The goat.
We got some great questions rolling in here for our Ask D-Mace segment. So we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have the second half. Really good stuff. Now, okay, let's just clarify. Dunking the basketball. In games?
Yes.
Okay. High school games?
Absolutely. No, I didn't dunk. I could dunk in a game, but I never got an opportunity to dunk in a game. Yes. I mean, I was dunking, you know, in practice or dunking, just like messing around.
Different levels. Just clarifying here. Now, I wonder if the 5'9 guy that he didn't put the name on here.
Yeah,
hey, people, he says 5'9", but he said he could dunk. So it's like
I believe him. He could dunk. Yeah,
okay. But my son, did you do it in the game? That's the next level.
Didn't do it.
I did not in college. My closest ever. I had a chance to dunk one at Mississippi State. I had 8 points. Uh-huh. We were getting killed. It's my sophomore year. I did not have any double digit games under my belt. So I laid it in because I was like, if I miss this dunk, number one, we're getting killed. Coach is going to kill me. Plus, I'll end up with single digits. So I just laid it in. I didn't take the chance. But if I look back, that was my best chance to get a dunk in a college game. I didn't get it. All right, we're coming back with more Ask D-Mace next here on 102.5 The Game.
D-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes, 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace. Fire.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Our Friday show rolling along, part two of Ask D-Mace. We got the texters lined up here, 615-737-1025. Still time to get some texts in. Eddie George at 1, Lewis Riddick at 1:15. We're going to have some great talk coming up in our 1 o'clock hour. plus our daily trivia question. Now, we've got it lined up here, D-Base. I don't know if we're going to get to all these. We're going to have to go rapid fire here. So we're going to pick up our tempo. We might have to go no huddle. Okay, we can do that, right?
Let's do it.
We're on the same page. We have good chemistry.
I'm conditioned for no huddle.
Yeah, there we go. So it's tough to top TD's question about the 5'9 guy who can dunk, challenging to see if D-Mace could dunk. And D-Mace said, absolutely, I can.
Come on now.
Milo says, hey, Derek, who was the worst teammate you ever played with?
The worst teammate I've ever played with. I don't, you know what?
And he wants names.
And I can say this truthfully. I don't think I played with any bad teammates. Now, I may have played with some teammates that may have, you know, was putting other things before their job. But I haven't played with any, like, bad teammates, guys that, you know, I just think are, you know, bad people. You know, but because everyone's usually, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. You know, we all had different religions, but we all were there for a common purpose. And when you have a common purpose, I think it supersedes where you come from, the color of your skin, your religion, sexual preference. I think it overcomes all of that. And that was so special. That is what's so special, or was so special, about the locker room in Tennessee, here in Nashville, and then a locker room in Baltimore.
Got a good one here from Joe. D-Mace, how did you get yourself in the right mindset after a bad game or disappointing loss so it doesn't affect your next game?
So what's your mindset? Talk about your mindset. No, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. You know what? It's a simple question, but it's a really good question, because some guys and women have a hard time after both a win and a loss to sort of put it behind them and move on to the next game. For some reason, I am sometimes good and sometimes bad. You know, my kids say sometimes it could be bad. I do a good job at compartmentalizing things and sort of putting things in their place and then moving on. Sometimes that could be good and sometimes that could be bad. But I found in the arena of sports, it was good for me, because you don't want to be on this emotional roller coaster. You know, yes, in the games you want to have that eagerness and that grit and grind and that dogness in you to go out there and compete. But you don't want to be an emotional player. And when I say about an emotional player, when you're just so up and down, you know, you got to be even keel when you're on the field. And then once you've had a loss, yeah, you're upset that you lost. And that's how I was. I was upset that I lost, upset that I played well, but I had to move on. The minute I left that building and, you know, I got in the car and, you know, I went home and I talked about the game. After that day, I was done with it. It was like, it's gone. It's over with. I can't do anything to change it. It's done. It's over with. Just make sure I don't make those same mistakes over again.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
Shane weighs in and just wants to report a scoreboard update. Afanasyev scores and Askarov is playing great in the rookie showcase today. Thanks for the update, Shane. I don't think that was a question for D-Mace, though. But we appreciate you weighing in. Yes, he scores! Kyle's got the next one. Let's see. Pork and Beans Jones goes by the polls as well. He's referring to Kentucky versus Michigan State, I guess, there. Let's see. Was the lingo... This is a better question from Kyle, he says. This is his actual question. Better question. Was the lingo for routes, the terminology, was it different between the Ravens and the Titans when you switched? How big of a difference in terminology was
it? No, it wasn't. In regards to the actual route terminology, what we called it is the same. Now, in regards to the play, now the play is called different, but... You know. For instance, you know, in Baltimore, all slants would probably be called like San Diego. That means you got your slants. Well, in Nashville, here in Tennessee, we probably would have called it something else. But it's still a slant route, you know?
So the route's the same. Just the route's the same, different.
Just the terminology is different. Yeah, so, but yeah, we didn't, I mean, whether it was a nine route, curl route, comeback, you know, bench route, in route, it was all called the same, but it was just within that play, what was that play called to tell us we had to run those routes.
Alex texts in and says, D-Mace, who would play Derek Mason in the movie about the 1999 Titans?
Ooh, who would play me?
Yes.
Gosh. Listen, I would say Morris Chestnut probably, because he's played in some, you know, some athletic, you know, some sports movies. Who else? I don't know who else, but that's the first person.
Maybe we just need to have some auditions.
Yeah, we can have some auditions. I can get my son to play me.
John Travolta?
Yeah, John Travolta. He's a little bit too old now.
He's getting up there a little bit. He is getting up there. We need some, maybe the young up-and-coming actor, you know, who you haven't heard before the movie, but hey, did you see his role as playing a young Derek Mason? That maybe we can give this guy a start.
There are several guys I think that would, you know, be great at playing, you know, Derek Mason in the 1999, what was it, 99?
Yeah.
1999 NFL season.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to work on this project. All right, Rico text, D-Mace, do you think Deion Sanders would excel as a head coach at a Power 5 school or maybe on the NFL level?
I will answer this by saying, heck yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, Coach Sanders just has a way. Like, one, the thing that I like about him, and if you don't follow him, you need to. He's a great follow. But he cares. Like, he genuinely cares about those kids. Like, genuinely. It ain't just about – he cares about those kids. And when you genuinely care about kids in your program, kids in general, they will run through a wall for you. They will. You know that, Willie. They will do whatever it is,
oh, yeah,
you know, that you ask them to do. You know, meaning good things, you know, improving themselves or whatnot. But he truly cares. And I think that would spill over into a Power 5 conference. I think that would spill over into the NFL because he understands, one, he understands the game. He's been where they've been. He's excelled. He's a Hall of Famer. And he's a guy that just doesn't talk the talk. He also walks it. So, absolutely, Deion Sanders would excel at a Power 5 and then on the NFL team. Don't be surprised in the next 3 or 4 years, he probably is approached by an NFL team to coach.
That will be very interesting to watch as he continues to pile up the wins at Jackson State. Pretty interesting. That could be a good question for Eddie George in our next segment. That's coming up soon. But first, by the way, we have a nominee for Cuba Gooding Jr.,
oh, yeah.
Trying to reprise the role as Rod Tidwell. But, you know, he's better known as Rod Tidwell. But, you know, so
he
I don't know.
Could be D-Mace.
Could he be D-Mace?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Could be D-Mace.
I still kind of like the idea of an up-and-comer trying to capture the essence of D-Mace here. Somebody says, definitely Cuba Gooding Jr. We got some people saying.
I would love, you know what? I would love for Matthew McConaughey to play me. Just because of the way he talks. I mean, he would be so smooth. I don't know if he can play football or even act like he could play football, but I just like Matthew. That's all.
And now we have Shane saying now that Del Guizzo has scored for Nashville. Shane is very excited about how the Predators are doing today.
Okay. He is a defender, so that's a good goal, I guess.
Yes. All right, final question here for you. Amy from Arkansas, not a coincidence. She's asking about Treylon Burks. What advice, D-Mace, would you give Treylon Burks? Have you ever considered reaching out to Treylon like Eddie did with Derrick Henry?
Have I ever thought about? No, I haven't. You know, you just, to me, that's one of those situations where, you know, if someone that he knows reaches out to you and say, hey, can you, whether it be someone on the coaching staff, you know, someone within that building or someone he knows, say, hey, won't you talk to this young man? I would have no problem with doing that. I've done it before with certain players. But, you know, The advice I would give Traylon is just keep playing. Just keep going to work. Just keep grinding. You know, I know you haven't gotten the ball as much as you wanted to, but, you know, this is your rookie season. Eventually, if you continue to do the things that they're asking you, continue to do the things the right way, continue to work hard, continue to go out there and play with joy and happiness, it will come to you. Your plays will come to you. You just got to make them. You just got to be ready to make those plays. A lot of guys talk about making plays. A lot of guys complain about they're not getting an opportunity to make a play. But, you know, when you get an opportunity to make that play, you better make it. Mm. You better be ready to make it.
Great stuff for Ask D-Mace this week. We had more texts than we could that we had time for, so keep them coming. We'll do this again next Friday at 12:30. Coming up, Eddie George, head coach, Tennessee State. They've got Middle this week. We'll talk Titans, Bills as well. Lewis Riddick at 1:15, trivia at 1:30. Stay tuned. Final hour is coming up.